Yo, get it.
What's happening, man? How you doing tonight?
Man, I'm good, man. How about yourself, man? How you feeling?
Well, man, I'm well. Hey, happy Sunday to everybody out there in
Happy
Facebook.
last Sunday of 2020, man.
Man, is that crazy or what?
You know what? This is the last time we're gonna say in this pandemic season.
I don't know, Doc.
Even in the midst of a pandemic, God is still good.
Yes,
Now, this season is definitely still ongoing. It's very much ongoing.
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How was your day, man?
Man, everything was well, man. I can't complain. I am going to be coming to you, man. We done our
Come
whole
on.
little what? We done our
No,
whole
first
little
things first. No. First things first.
what, man?
First
What are
things
you talking
first.
about? Oh, you want me to congratulate you? You want me to congratulate you? I refuse to congratulate people who are gonna win this week and lose next week.
Bruh. Bruh. Listen, I love Baker Mayfield so much. I love Baker Mayfield so much.
Listen, Baker wasn't the problem today.
Really
Baker.
blessed his hands before. I blessed his hands with blessed oil before the last play of the game.
Can we
I
talk about
personally said,
something
"Come here,
else?
Baker.
That's really incorrect.
I have a blessing.
Can we
I
talk
have a
about something
blessing
else?
for you."
Listen, man. We did do our whole service today for the New Year's Eve service, so I'm gonna need you to help me put it together. Anyway.
No, man, no. Call your Browns fans. Call your Browns fans, man. No.
You are an undercover Browns fan.
No, man. Never, ever will
You are an
be.
undercover Browns. You, Roslyn, Marlon, all y'all are undercover Browns fan, and we know it. We
Big
know
time hater. You're a big
it.
time hater.
How's everybody doing out there, y'all? How y'all doing? How's everybody doing? Tim Smith, I see Rosetta Carter is watching. Good evening. God bless you. So many
What's happening,
out there.
everybody? What's going on? What's
How's
going
it?
on?
Oh my
The clowns are quiet today. Thank you, Tim. The clowns are quiet today.
Why we got, come on
They are. I mean, I ain't got a text from Terrell today.
now.
I ain't been tagged in nothing. What's up, Pastor Tatum? Good to see you.
Me and Terrell are praying and fasting about
You
next
need
week
to. Yeah,
already.
go ahead and do that. We'll probably be resting and benching players because we don't need to fight our way in. It just is what it is. Hi, Cat Wade, how you doing? So you got your New Year's Eve message ready.
Yes, yeah, so everything is done already. We just gonna put it together and God bless you, Sister Cat. Listen, real quick before we start, man, I wanna give a big shout out to you. There's a couple things I want to talk about in the intro, man, to use to us in the big give, man. It was wonderful, man. If you just want to take about 1 minute, man, just tell the people what you done there and what went on there, man. It was just a beautiful thing, man.
Bruh, God gave this vision to me on had to be like December 1st. Like December 1st, December 2nd. God gave me this vision right after the last Sunday in November of Advent to do something. I literally just walked in my treasurer's office and said, "Yo, we got any money in the bank? Could we do something?" Talked to my head deacon, said I wanted to do this thing called the Big Give, want to raise some money. And it's funny because the amount of money just kept increasing from like $1,000, $2,500. And I set a $5,000 goal. And I got up on Sunday, like, it's been a long time since I've been shaking in my boots. Like, it's a pandemic in the midst of the season. And, Christmas is coming. And, we want to finish strong, obviously, in regular giving. And I said, I'm about to ask my church to help me raise $5,000. I put it out there, the excitement, the agreement was there. That's the beautiful thing about being a part of an awesome church family. The agreement is there. I could see the comments on the page, like, all right, let's do it, let's do it, let's do it. I reached out to you, like, yo, you want to be a part? Of course, focus building, I just take money out their account. We just gonna do this, Terrell can talk about it later. Pastor Jeff and Progressive Baptist came up big with our first big donation. And we did really well the first week and a half. Money was flowing, looking good. Then the next Monday, I got an email that the entire amount that I wanted was being sent to me in a check. So next thing you know, we had over $8,000, man. And of course, we're road dogs. So I'm like, Pastor Jeff, we got all this money. You want to help me pass this out? You know, you want to make this happen? And you were there all 3 days. We were together all 3 days. And I got to give it to, and I just first things first, got to shout out Second Baptist, because that's my home church. And they jumped on this vision. We set a goal. And frankly, we were going to do something regardless. Right, if we didn't get the big check email, if we didn't get, we were going to do something. And I thank God for their jumping out. Give shout out to you and Progressive Baptist. You're already making impact and haven't even been able to have a full size service in Warren yet. I mean, you're already making an impact, and Progressive is stepping up. And little known, Progressive has always been involved in our community and in our city. And you're reinvigorating that. And so I'm proud of you. Giving a big shout out to the Focus Building, of course, because we made a contribution. And CareSource was one of our donors that added us to their pandemic funding and wanted us to. We made this an extension of our grocery distribution we do every month. And we went out there, man, and you saw it yourself, man, that the tears, the joy, the surprise, people paying it forward, people jumping on. And next thing you know, in some of these registers, four and five, six people were paying for the person behind them because they got blessed. So I'm definitely looking forward to next year, you know, doing this again. It was wonderful. Everybody was cooperative. And so just to, you know, God was great. I say it all the time. If God gives you a vision, follow it, you know, and the right provision will come along the right way. So it was amazing.
I was just blessed to be a part of it, man. It was very, very, you know, I love to, you know, when I was in Youngstown, I was in so many different outreaches and organizations and things. And to do something like that, just, it does my heart good to watch people and to bless people at Christmas. You know, for those who, you know, don't have or might not have, for those who said, you know, I barely was making it. I didn't even know how I was going to get, you know, I just came out here on a limb. You know, I just wanted to get a couple things. So I thank God for even adding me to the vision and allowing us to do what we do at Progressive. Now, you know, we Christmas just passed. You know, thank God for that. I already fell on my son's hoverboard already. But you know, in the midst of that, there were two movies that came out. We got to talk about them real quick.
Oh man, we had to devote a whole show to these two movies.
We got to talk about Wonder Woman, because they tried to kill Wonder Woman.
And Wonder Woman was trash. Let me just start there. No, my statement is
was not
Wonder Woman as a person is a wonderful woman. Uh-huh. Wonder Woman 1984 was trash.
Let me say this about Wonder Woman before, because I know you got some deep statements about the next show. But let me say that Wonder Woman did not live up to what it should have lived up. It was nowhere near the first one, but it was not a bad movie. It wasn't a bad movie. It the beginning was great with the little girl, but I think they were comical when they was in the mall and she was swinging through the mall like she was Tarzan. I'm like, all right, that shouldn't be there. And I think the mind speaking guy, whatever he was, he
like
said
Donald not Trump. Like that telepathic was Donald Trump.
the girl from SNL, this was her first acting role. I think I think they should have focused on her.
I do too. She should have went further. Yeah. They took too long to get to Cheetah, you know. Mm-hmm. They should have went ahead and got her there. But you know, I just thought the movie, the pacing, and when I say the movie, I'm talking like the pacing, the, you know, the dialogue. It was just like rolling your eyes, man. And I'm not even a movie critic, so if I don't like something, it's got to be bad. I know you want to talk about Soul, but we're gonna have to give a whole show to that, because I know Mike wants us to move on. But here's what I'll say about Soul. Here's my thesis statement for Soul. I'm still waiting on a black animated character to stay a black animated character the whole movie, because they have yet. Every time they put us in a Disney movie or a Pixar movie, we turn into something else. A bird, the frog, and now a cat. And that's all I'm saying. Now, we didn't grow up, Jeff, watching all these German Disney movies based off these European, you know, all this stuff. When we finally got Princess and the Frog, it was, you know, the princess was a frog, you know, the whole time, or the other way around, or whatever.
Will Smith was a genie.
Will Smith's a genie. I want a black lead to be a black lead. I want to see a black family. I want to see mom and dad loving their kids. I want to see them not just go in the barbershop for 2 minutes in the show. I want to see them, you know, do their thing. Do what we know. I mean, they just make us cartoons, Jeff. They just make us cartoons, and we should be a Disney Pixar movie. Just
religiously incorrect. Disney
religiously Pixar. Incorrect. Pixar presents religiously incorrect. You know what I'm saying? We got enough character here. What would you think? What did you think before we jump off?
I mean, I just literally watched the movie. I mean, like you said, we could devote a whole show to it, especially speaking religiously and, you know, speaking theologically, you know, the fundamental untruths that came out of the movie. But
hell,
you know,
they all going to hell.
Jerry was everybody and everywhere. It was just too much. It was too much.
Well, I'll add one more thing. How you going to have a show about death and dying and black folk and not have no 4-hour funeral and a big bucket of fried chicken on somebody's table?
Come on.
That just goes to show me you don't know nothing about black culture. Because if you're going to introduce death, if you're going to introduce death and a black character.
There was no eulogy.
Nobody, I won't complain for 20 minutes.
No, nobody read the
the condolences and the letters. This letter will be placed on file in our church archives. Okay, there are different opinions. I'm going to probably do a Clubhouse about Soul. Y'all can join me on Clubhouse. Just don't get on and start blasting me like y'all did them preachers the other night. All right. Jeff, this might be one of my favorite episodes. This is the last episode of 2020. It's the last Sunday of 2020. Y'all don't forget, next Sunday we're doing our YouTube-only first Sunday edition, but I'll talk more about that later. Mm-hmm. We have had some incredible stars. We've had music, you know, people that work in the music industry. We've obviously had fellow pastors. We've had coaches. Who else have we had on this show? This
Ooh, we had some. We had pastors, coaches, Bishop, rappers.
Bishop David Bishop. Heron. Mm-hmm. I don't know why we put Bishop David Heron on after the rapper, but never mind, you know, never mind that. But today, we have a very special guest. The subject of our show is the new school.
The new school.
And Jeff, you and I are both parents. We have both been in this ridiculous situation since March when we got that phone call notice that schools were not going back on Monday. And it's been pretty much chaos ever since. Let's be honest. I mean, this is good and bad, but it's pretty much been chaos ever since, especially those first few months. And we forget that not only were we going through it as parents, but our children were going through it. And we often forget that our teachers and administrators are going through it. And tonight we're going to talk to one of our teachers, one of my favorite teachers. Jeff, who's your favorite teacher growing up?
Ooh, Mrs. Huff. Mrs. Huff was my favorite teacher from Youngstown. And I don't even think I ever had her as a teacher. She's just and I think she's probably my favorite teacher because she was fine. She was just one fine
teacher. Oh, she was a fine teacher. I don't have no fine teachers, man. I didn't have none of those. I really didn't.
Mrs. Huff and Mrs. Salisbury was both fine teachers. I don't know why I'm talking about this, but they was just both fine teachers.
Hey, we thought teachers were so old when we were young until we found out that we are teacher age, like right now.
Right.
Mr. Marzulla was one of my favorite teachers. Mr. Marzulla, one of these funky white guys that looked like he, you know, never left the 60s, like as far as his mentality and his, he was just a fun dude, like a fun guy, got along with everybody, made me feel great. He was in a movie and like he was an extra in a movie. And it was Leap of Faith with Steve Martin, the fake preacher guy.
Wow. Yeah.
He was an extra in the movie and wheeled the TV in the into the to make us watch it. To make us watch. Just his scene though. Just his scene of him just in the crowd. Like
we had a teacher like that. Well, I don't know if he was in a movie, but he was actually the drama teacher. And his name was Mr. Vargo. And I mean, just his talk, you know, sirs, you all can get up and go to lunch. Ma'am, everybody, sir and ma'am. Sir, right. Ma'am. Sir. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, then I had a great band teacher at Southington when I went to Southington for a while. We called him, funny, his nickname was Sir. His name was Mr. Masterangelo, Jan Masterangelo. And he was probably my first experience. And I don't know, let's just say it was my first experience broadening my world. He was our band teacher. And he was incredibly loving and stern, but also just a fun-loving guy. And he made me stick with music in junior high school, you know, and all of that. So, hey, Rachel Hitchens, good to see you.
Real quick, how many black teachers did you have, if you can recall?
I didn't catch any till high school until I had Miss Hamid and subs maybe, but until I got to high school, I had Miss Hamid, Mr. Thornton, Miss Stoudemire, Miss Edwina Whitehead. Miss Edwina Whitehead throw a book at you. She was like the Maddie Moss Clark of teachers. She was the Maddie Moss Clark of teachers.
That's how my man Mr. Jenkins was. Mr. Jenkins, yeah. He'd throw stuff off the table. Shut up!
Miss McCoy. We had Miss McCoy, who actually went to my church when I was a child. So I didn't really get them till high school, because remember, I left for a few years, so I was in Southington. There wasn't no black teachers out there. That wasn't
real quick, let me shout out my aunt. She was my teacher. She was my black history teacher, Lynette Miller. I met her as a student. That's how I met her. I met my aunt. I'm in her class. She's calling out everybody's name. She's like, Jeff Stanford. I was like, I'm here. You know, I'm here. You know, I'm laughing. She's like, Jeffrey Lamar? How you know my middle name? How you know my middle
name? No, your government name.
How you know my government name? She's like, you my nephew. And she ended up taking me home that day from school.
Oh, is that right? So she kidding?
That's how I met her. And I mean, and me and my father's side of the family have been cool ever since then. So, yeah.
All right, well, let's bring our guests in. You all know that whenever we bring guests in, we got to introduce them to the podcast ecosystem here. So let's go ahead and bring our guest in, one of my favorite teachers, Miss Melanie Hamid from Warren G. Harding. Woo! How are you? Okay, so Miss Melanie, how are you enjoying your break?
Oh, let me tell you. I am enjoying my break thoroughly. My son is home, and we expected him to leave today, but he didn't. So it's look at my Marlin. Hi, precious. So it is good to have him home, and just good to be in my house, you know.
Absolutely. So we've been talking about virtual learning. And I must admit, because you were right there, because you jumped on me, Miss Melanie is not only my teacher, but my member who is not afraid to pull up in my driveway and tell her brother off. She would tell her brother off. And I'll be honest, I got quite aggravated the first few weeks and months, and we were not adjusting well when this new system. Now, to be fair, I'm going to defend myself. Y'all really threw a brother like as in links to click on just to get my kids logged into this doggone virtual schooling, and I barely know my Google account, you know, password. And I got on there and ranted and raved and criticized. And Miss Melanie said, baby, you got people to help you. You got people that will reach out to you. Did you call this person? Did you? And I said, no, ma'am. No, I didn't do any of that. And she got me together, Jeff, like right quick. But I think everybody was drowning under the suddenness all over the country. People were, and I can't even imagine, because Jeff, we went through it as pastors. It was like minute to minute decision making. Are we going to have church this Sunday? Are we going to have church this Sunday?
Right.
And so think about a school system with thousands of students. Some school systems have tens of thousands of students. Some schools have hundreds of thousands of students. They have to consider. Sister Melanie, Miss Melanie, I don't know the difference. Mrs. Melanie.
It's all right.
Take us into that week. Take us into that suddenness.
Okay, so I was in front of my kids. I mean, they were there, and I kept, and I'm even trying to play it down because I didn't know the seriousness of this pandemic. I didn't know. And I was singing, my Corona, let my kids, we're doing all of that. And then all of a sudden, they're not listening to me any longer. And wow. I kept saying things like, did I tell them I love them enough? Did I make them secure enough? Did I do what needed to be done to prepare them? Because I simply didn't know. I didn't know. And they just came on. I remember my very young principal, Dante Capers is our principal, and he came on. The kids won't be coming back. And we were just all, we're just in shock. And I'm going, what do you mean they're not coming? Okay, so did I give them what they needed before they left? Because I'm a real pencil paper teacher. I'm not a cyber, let's get online and look at that. I never did any of that. And although like our textbooks were already online, I never used them like that. I had paper copies that I gave to my students. So just to be caught off guard was just so alarming. And the fact that I couldn't touch them anymore and I couldn't make sure that they were okay or well fed, or because, you know, as long as they're in front of me, then I know that they're safe, you know, at least for those minutes that they're in front of me. And all of that security was just wiped from underneath us, just, and all of us. And so when we saw like things, this pushback from parents or this fretting from students, I'm going, and they're going, well, teachers should be able to do this and teach. Okay, we didn't know anything. We don't know anything. I'm sorry, but the same panic and uncertainty that parents and students were thrown into, so were we. And the thing is that while you're concerned about your three little babies or you know, these people over here are concerned about, I had 180 kids I was panicking about. Wow. And then I'm getting this criticism on top of that. And I'm going, okay, I'm doing the best that I know how. And I my husband bought me a speaker for my car that I could plug in, because I went to homes and I had a big whiteboard. This poor lady, this older woman, she had to be about 80. I would go to the same neighborhood at the same time with my whiteboard, and she'd go, did Romeo and Juliet again? And I go, yes, ma'am. Do you want a book? But I'm teaching through that mic to my students. That would come
like
out
the
on
Blues Brothers with the speaker strapped to the top of the car.
Oh, I was super cute. You should have seen.
I love it.
I kept saying the police are going to come and take me away, but I was teaching, and my students were learning, so I didn't care. I don't care. Sorry.
Right.
But that kind of thing. But you know, as it went on, you know, we learned how to adjust. My kids learned how to adjust. Now I'm an old teacher. I mean, I'm looking at retirement in 5 years. I didn't know that I'd have to learn something new.
Wait a minute. Wait. How old are my kids?
Yeah, thanks.
Oh, we got to talk about that. Well, I can imagine, and hearing you say that, and that was a perspective you gave us, and some others gave us as well, that everyone, whenever a panic happens, everyone's first thought is themselves for at least a second. And every parent, every student, we're just like, oh God, what am I going to do? How am I going to do my kids? How am I going to keep up with this? How's work going to work out? Then, of course, we get the papers. And when you look back in hindsight, which, of course, I hope people do for people like us who are in leadership, you do see them rushing out, you know, platforms. They're rushing out, you know, passwords and trying to do distributions. Now, it's never fast enough for us. You know how we are. I mean, it's just never. Right. We all just turn into toddlers. You know, we just can't our sucker fast enough. But you look back and you realize the panic. And, you know, we were blessed. A lot of parents weren't Had to worry about childcare, had to worry about Wi-Fi, had to worry about, you know, can they even help their child with this?
Sure.
And I mean, I realized right away that all of you teachers are grossly underpaid. Grossly underpaid. I'll say it again. Grossly underpaid. And that there is a great deal of work that we don't know anything about, that we think is just classrooms and conferences. And there's so much more that goes into it.
It really is. You know, first of all, I want to thank you and the school system for, first of all, the Ohio directional cards that you gave the kids. I think that was wonderful. Right. That every kid got that Ohio directional card. And you know, even though my son was trying to get Twinkies and potato chips, and then for the computers, which, I mean, y'all probably only gonna get about three of those back. But
yeah, right.
They all gonna be loaded with Fortnite everything.
Fortnite on everybody's computer. But I think that's awesome. But it has to be difficult, and not just, you know, I have one son that, you know, that's of school age. So, you know, me just listening to him is kind of easy. I can take that, you know, I can deal with him and what, but to have multiple children on the same site, multiple teachers in one house. And I know, Pastor Todd, you probably can speak to this. I know that has to be a difficult thing and a difficult situation to, you know, to try to, you know, because although the teachers are teaching them, we still have to try to instruct and try to guide and make sure our kids are up and make sure that they're ready and make sure that they're all online. And, you know, I mean, at the beginning, I can hear these teachers. I mean, literally, they would get, and I mean, I think it's a whole lot better. Elias and my son are in the same class now, but it was
so. I feel sorry for that teacher.
I mean, they would start at 8:30, and I mean, she really wouldn't get started to almost 9:30, just trying to get people online, just trying to get people to, are you here? Is this person here? It had to be difficult. How difficult was it, at least in the start, and how has it become a little bit easier?
It did. So when we started this year, I was a hybrid teacher, which means that students came to me. And then a whole section of teachers were virtual teachers. They were already online. So before my kids left, I told them, look, nothing changes. School starts at 7:30. You are to be in place at 7:30. I'm coming online, and at 7:30, I'm going to start talking. When I start talking, you better be here to get what I've got to give you. Well, you know, freshmen are really obedient. And if, you know, kids are kids. If you tell them what to do, they'll do what you tell them. Well, they'll do what I tell them. So my kids are there at 7:30. My babies, they know they have to leave me a message in chat and let me know that they're there, because that's how I take my attendance. If you don't leave me a message, or you don't unmute and say I'm here, then I don't know that you're here. I always have something going on. Like, I always, okay, so I'm gonna do this with you. I show them my arm candy. I wear lots of jewelry, which I didn't do before. That's my son's dog.
You got a new guest.
And I always show them, I go, look, aren't these super cute? And they have to say, Miss Amid, you are so. That's how I know that they're there. Mister, before they leave, mister, be quiet. They have to tell me what color my jewelry was for the day. So that I'm sure that they. I'm a cold cock this dog. I'm about to tell you. Mister, shush.
This is the best show at the end of the year. I love it.
You know, and this is what's happening. Okay, like if we're teaching from home, we taught from home. This is what happens. The dogs bark.
So your dog comes to class with you now.
Actually, it's home. Yeah, right. Okay, or, you know, my husband doesn't care about walking in, talking to me, and I'm going, I'm in class. You can't talk to
right.
me.
Right.
She's like, where my bacon
for eggs? Dinner. You're like,
my breakfast.
Yes, when I okay, so you can still see my tree is still up back there. See it back there?
Yes. Oh, we see
my kids. My kids help me decorate. So while I'm teaching, I'm going, hey, what about this ornament? Where do we put it? So they did all of that. But they became really involved. Mister, be quiet. They really became involved in my house, like that kind of thing. Okay, don't love the doggy, but they really became involved in the way my life worked, which made me have a different kind of connection with my kids. So they would ask stuff like, when I'd be at school, they go, "Miss Mina, is the dog around?" And I go, "Okay, don't start, no." Or did you finish decorating your tree? Or did you, Miss Mina, we saw you wrapping those presents. Did you finish wrapping the presents? Or like I did a Crunch, Munch, and Read campaign, Pastor Todd's aware of that, where before on the 18th, I delivered hot chocolate and cookies and candy and coloring books and crayons to my students, first of all, so that I could see them and to let them know that I love them and I'm concerned about them and I wanted them to have something warm and have some normalcy of what they would have done in my room, because they would have been drinking hot chocolate in my room. They would have been eating popcorn in my room. So I wanted them to have that kind of normalcy to go with them. So I delivered that stuff to their houses. My husband said I was crazy, which is probably right. But it was great to see my babies and it was great to see their faces. And it was something simple. I mean, it was a coloring book and crayons and it was popcorn
Well, we know that in schools, even in the in-school setting, you are a very engaging teacher. I am there to see you. I have been down there. That's why you're so beloved. All of your former students, they're all logged on right now, and every teacher's not like that. We all know that. And that's fine because everybody has a different approach. That's fine. But did you see a disparity sometimes where some teachers or some students might be missing out because their teachers are not attempting to engage the same way, or by no fault of the teachers? Like you said, you struggle with technology. I had one admit to me, "Look, this just isn't my thing. I'm trying, but up here in age, I never did it like this." And so there's not much of an engagement because they're stuck too. Do you feel like that creates more disparity with especially our low income and our students of color?
Okay, you're really broken up, but I'm thinking that I heard what you said. Ask me again, Pastor Todd.
That's okay. I was saying that just like in person. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay.
Pastor Jeff.
I think what he's saying is there a disparity? Say it again, Todd, so I can tell, just like you said.
Between teachers that don't engage as much as, teachers who do engage like she does, and how that makes a difference in the lives, especially of kids who don't get that love at home or they come out of poverty situations.
Okay, I hear you. This is what I know about this profession. It is a profession of the heart. And teachers work like this. Each teacher has a way. If it's not this level of connection, it's something else that they've done or tried. And I'm always amazed at what they've done. And it's like this. If I don't do it, then there's a colleague across the hall that's in my pod that will do it. Or they'll say to me, Melanie, like I had my one teacher came up to me and said, "Well, if you're going, I'll go with you," Or and if that connection doesn't happen, and it doesn't matter whether we're face to face or whether we are, hybrid or online, if that doesn't happen, it is a huge loss for the teacher and the student. But teachers, I don't know, they're a alien group of people because they simply know how and know where to make a connection. I'm going to tell you what. There have been times, now, Pastor Todd, you know me and love me, so there's some bias there. But there's been times when I simply had no clue how to connect with some of my kids. So I go back to their middle school teachers and I go, "Help me, help me." Or I'll go, it takes Jody Austin Brown in our building to say that she goes down to the preschool where they are dressing up in costume or they're, laying on the floor and they're looking at the ceiling and making up stories. To go and have your spirit refreshed, your mind refreshed, because regardless of how I'm feeling, whether or not I've connected, I've got to make sure that every kid is connected to me. And that is how teachers function. They're just an alien group of people. And I don't know how. I told my my son is a teacher of K-1 babies. Now, Pastor Todd knows him. Pastor Jeff, I don't know if you know him. He's a great, big, huge bear of a man. And he teaches little teeny tiny babies, which just cracks me up. And when I see him with them, he is a whole different person than I know. And I go look at him and go, wow, you did that. And you did this connection. And you did, like, he gives them, now Mr. is his dog. He gives them Mr. time. If they want to do, they're struggling with something, he'll say, okay, now if we can do three more problems, you can have some Mr. moments. And he'll show them, you know, he'll turn his camera around and film his dog. It's a different life, I'm telling you, on this end. It's a different life. And teachers are unique in finding a way to connect to their kids.
Right.
To me, I see where they're saying there's a lot of kids that are falling behind, because of virtual learning. And I don't know how true it is, but I see that. I guess my question to you is there maybe, and what we used to call in high school or what we used to call in education, a curve in learning, a curve in grading, because of the online. And then when kids do finally, which hopefully they do, get to go back to school, is there something set up where kids are going to be able to catch up and get back to where they were without repercussions?
Yes, if there is a lagging, like right now, the things that I taught, things I would have flown through and been so far ahead, I slowed that all down. From direction from our administrator to slow what you're doing down and don't concentrate so much on things that would have been punitive, like testing, so kids could do projects instead, or just simply them logging on. And if I'm talking about something and Pastor Stanford, you decided to respond to that, then that would be the way that I could evaluate you. And teachers had to become creative because we couldn't hit you because your Wi-Fi was down. We couldn't hit you because you didn't log on. And I've had kids who didn't log on for 2 or 3 weeks and I had to go back and get them. So I did. Or if they were doing that, how you started their grading and where you would end it. There were a ton of readjustments that teachers did to make sure that we didn't leave anybody, because we don't leave our kids behind. And if we find that when I get back to school, if I find that whatever I'm talking about, my kids don't know, I will go back and reteach it. We don't leave you. That's why we stay there until everybody can. I need everybody to move with me. Do you have it so that we can move on? Now, we've got kids who got hooked up to this thing. They're tech savvy. They know what to do. Those kids, I had to make sure that I made those kinds of accommodations where they can move forward. So I gave them more challenging pieces to read, or they did a different kind of writing for me. But all the time, I mean, I felt like, you know, I felt like Ali. I was ducking and dodging and planning and punching. And, you know, I had to be ready on my feet to adjust the learning to whatever my babies needed. And they are my babies. So whatever they needed, it is up to me to get it to them. And then teachers were just, oh, they've been so kind to one another. Just, I know they've been really kind to me, because I'm going and going, I don't know how to put the grades in, and I don't know how to. We'll show you how. Just that kind of support was wonderful to have.
That's awesome. Now, to the household parent side, you know, there are times when my boy would run upstairs with his tablet and say, my teacher wants to talk to you right now. And I'm trying to get dressed. Then I see other parents, you know, cussing their kids out in the background, or just maybe not at the child, but, you know, the household's a little different. You know, this language a little salty. You know, we've seen the horror stories. People in their bras and, you know, walking around on camera. What are the horror stories. I mean, how has that been just getting in the way of everything? I mean, what's going on with that?
Okay, so I teach high school, so wow. I've had so it's a whole different animal for high school teachers. I've had some, you know, funk music playing in the back, and I have to go, okay, you gotta mute yourself, baby. You gotta mute your, or I can hear the mother talking, okay, as she's coming into the, literally into my classroom. And I'd go, okay, does she want to talk to me? She can talk to me after class. I'll be glad to, you know. But I've seen, you know, I've heard some real interesting things happening. So we have to be very tolerant and learn how to readjust ourselves with even parenting. Like even like I do on, okay, so Warren City Schools has Wednesdays where we don't have a formal contact with our students. Right. So I'm like living on the phone. I've always had enjoyed good relationships with my parents, but this year it's been real intimate, real personal, because I'll go, okay, this is what's going on, and this is what I heard while I was on with your child, and understand that whatever I hear, all the students in my class can hear. So, or whatever I see, my students can see, all of them can see. So it's up to all of us to protect our children, all of us, to protect their hearts and their souls while we go through all of this. And parents have been real open to that. I mean, real accepting of that kind of conversation. So I really appreciate them. I appreciate them trusting that what I'm saying to them is not harmful for them or for their babies. So
you be telling them, hey, I'm going to need you to stop making baggies of weed on camera while your kids.
Yeah, I really need you to stop rolling that. You need to, okay, because, okay, remember now, I'm an old teacher, okay?
Hey,
What are you doing when your child is online? What's wrong with you? That kind of thing, yeah.
Listen, for me, my son is he's one of the IEP students, and you know, at first it was difficult for me to know that one of my children had to deal with the IEP. But honestly, Warren City School has been phenomenal with my son and his IEP, and this online schooling has made it even easier for him. Because, you know, a lot of times they would give them, they go on break, and, you know, everybody went on break, but my son would have to get back online. But at least he didn't have to leave his class with the rest of the kids like he used to have to do. And, you know, so it just made it easier for him. Right. It's less, you know, he doesn't have to feel like, you know, I'm different than everybody else. And I thank God for the IEP teachers that Warren City School has. It has been really great. They really are. You know,
you're really good. Jeff.
What's that?
Your son got a shout out from one of his teachers. I said your son got a shout out.
Yes, Mrs. Hitchens. She's so wonderful. She was one of the best. Yes. Oh, my son loved Mrs. Hitchens. She absolutely loved her. God bless you. But just to watch him grow and to watch him learn. I don't think he ever wants to go back to normal school. And so I just want to give you. I'm cool. I go to school and I'm done. So, but I want to give a big shout out to all the IEP teachers and the phenomenal job that they're doing in the school system.
And I think this is a good place to mention
that
it's not just teaching that is still going on through our schools. You've got guidance counseling.
Absolutely.
You've got extracurriculars, sports, you know, your National Honor Society, your organizations that give the full experience of school, the socialization. I mean, I'm watching these things. Now, it's again, unfortunately, it's another step for many of us, because it used to just be mama signed this form and, you know, you take this form, I could be on the swim team or whatever. Telling us log on, you know, click this, you know, final forms is what we have in Warren. Log on if you want to do this. I'm like, oh, not another website. You know, I don't want to do another thing. But the schools are really making, like the church, we talk about Pastor Jeff, First, we start off, okay, how am I going to preach online? Now it's how am I going to have a new members class online? Mm-hmm. How do I connect with people who need help socially, mentally, relationally? How do I counsel? How do we still do outreach like we did? You know, because you got to make the whole thing work. How do we still keep fellowships going? You know, right. And the schools have had to do the exact same thing. Now, you can't duplicate everything the same way. You know, you can't duplicate right. exactly everything because right. there's nothing like what the old saints used to say, ain't no ship like fellowship. Absolutely. You know, absolutely. It's just something about being together. But
like them trying to get us to take school pictures. Man, ain't nobody going to that.
Listen, you better get that iPhone out and hey, Jeff, get that green screen and put them old lasers we had in the 80s behind our head.
That's funny. That's hilarious.
Forget this.
Yeah, I was about to pay for them pictures. Boy, I got the best iPhone out. This is HD. Take x-rays. This mother take x-rays.
Tiffany said, you want Chris to take pictures? Yeah, right here. We take some pictures.
You better go out beside that bush. Go out beside that tree.
No, and those high-priced books they trying to sell us.
Oh, yeah, man. You know what I do miss? I miss the candy. I miss the candy sales. I miss the them sending them forms home. Oh, yeah. And I'll be like, boy, you ain't selling nothing, man. I'm not buying a $19 can of peanuts.
That's right.
So you can win a pen, you're going to break in 2 days. But it's a lot we miss out on. Extra stuff, you know. But you guys are making such a go of it. Such a go of it. Mike asked, what about seniors yes. missing out on the senior year experience?
Okay, so last year, remember, okay, we got caught in March, so we got to find a way to make it happen. So our senior advisors had the kids had to come in one at a time. They got to cross the stage. They got a picture taken, and then they told their story. They got to tell their story. So we saw all of that. And then they played that at the Elm Road Drive-In. So you could actually see the graduation happen. So we can't make it like it was. I'm sorry, but we don't have the power to make it like it was. But what they pulled off was fantastic. I mean, right. I sat in the back hall to make sure that kids kept moving. So I got to see them all. I tried not to hug them. But the thing is that they actually had that experience of walking across the stage and their family could come to that graduation. Teachers went out 2x2, 4x4. We took signs. We put a sign of Warren G. Harding is proud of their 2020 graduate. And we put that sign in every senior's yard. Wow. So even then, we got to see those seniors at the door, or they came out and took a picture in front of their that sign. So that went on. There are some things that we simply don't have the power to fix. So we do as much as we can. And I do have to give a shout out because they put that graduation together last year. I was blown away by how it looked. Kids were very appreciative. We were so glad to see them. And then to have it played at Elm Road so that we could all be together, you know, in our own cars. But we could all be together to cheer our kids on and out of the building for the year. But it is I'm sure that they'll be coming to you again early to talk about that. And, yes, we did parades. I went to every – okay, so – because I don't care who they are, I got to be involved. I was in every parade. Hong Kong, Hong Kong.
You was in all the schools.
None of my students.
You were in other school systems.
Other school, Jefferson, Will, the bong bong. There I was in line. Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, if people were doing birthday parades, I jumped in line. So.
You jumped in birthday. Kwanzaa,
it don't matter. Yep, there I am. It's me. And I tell the kids, if you hear somebody screaming, it's me. So don't be shocked. It's me.
No, I have.
And they would. We even did a thing about what is senior. What?
What did you say?
No, I was gonna say I had a bit of jealousy towards my kids. I'm jealous. I'm jealous of my kids because Jeff, you and I went to great lengths to skip school.
I was just about to say that.
we came up with so many ingenious ways of skipping out of school, and now every day is a skip day.
Listen, I said it in my sermon today that, you know, we had senior skip day.
Senior skip day.
And everybody went, now they got senior skip year, the whole year.
Right, senior skip
right,
year.
Right.
Hey, and when my kids want to skip school, they leave the house and go to the school building and go that way. They go backwards.
But the truth of the
matter, I tell you what,
go ahead.
It has brought a new appreciation of students being able to be in the building.
Yeah.
I don't think for me, I mean, I needed that. I needed to be in the building. I was a class clown. So for me, that was my life to get, you know, I'm a very social person. I want to go there. I want to make the teachers laugh. I want to make the people laugh. But I learned more when I could vibe off other people and be around people. And, you know, so for me to sit here and try to do this on computer all day long, I give every student and every teacher a lot of credit because I would be in bed until about 12 o'clock. I wouldn't learn.
I wouldn't make it.
And then you would hear this. That would be me knocking at your door. Get up. Let's go.
And we're talking first grade, you know, my 6-year-old, he's on at 8:45 and doesn't get off until 3:20, 3:30. I want to give his teacher, love her, Miss Bernadette, Miss Nick. Boy, when I hear her fussing down there with them teachers, because they be doing stuff like they're just doing weird stuff. And do you understand, Jeff, we have one gross kid.
Mm-hmm.
We have one gross kid to look at. Fingers in the nose, right. Hand in their pants. This teacher, I think all, especially our younger teachers and probably your high school teachers too, y'all all need to get trauma treatment for the stuff y'all have to see. A Zoom full of folks, nipples and boogers and feet.
You're like, oh, hey,
eye crust.
Well, what's funny is, you know, I get off work at 7 o'clock in the morning a lot of times. So I come home and go right to sleep. My wife gets him on. So by the time I wake up, he's already on. And I walk downstairs and he got this peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I'm like, what are you doing? Are you serious? And
there's
jelly all over his face. What, Daddy? What?
Right. Right.
So, oh, yeah.
The first day we were on,
I said to my students, I said, excuse me, how many of you are still in your pajamas? Me. Yeah. Well, I said, okay, just wonder if anybody got dressed besides me. No, just me.
No. Now, do they plan on keeping online schooling as an offering beyond this?
I don't know. I'm sure they're entertaining that because for some kids this worked really well. Students having control of their time and their space, some of them really flourished with that. So I would think that they wouldn't throw it all away. We've done too much work to get it to, you know, to get it to flow. So I'm pretty sure that they'll keep our online academy going.
Okay.
But I don't know.
Now, listen, everybody, we'll pause for station identification. Right quick, thank you for joining us for Religiously Incorrect. Tonight, our guest has been Mrs. Melanie Hamid. We always do a segment we call Rapid Fire. It's coming. We call it Rapid Fire. And that means you can ask a quick question and we have to answer it quickly. So if you have a quick question for Mrs. Hamid or for one of us, and by the way, it does not have to be about teaching or education. It can be about anything. So when we do Rapid Fire...
Except the Browns.
Oh, we're going to ask about the Browns.
We're going to ask about the Browns. Nah, you're getting kicked off.
But you can ask anything. We do have a question from Marlon Reed. Marlon Reed, another one of your precious students, one of my former classmates. He asked, do you feel that this particular situation has been your most challenging experience? That's a big yes.
Yes. Yes. It has made me a different teacher, I'll tell you.
I bet. Can you think of anything that compares to
this? I had
to
learn a lot quickly.
What was the biggest thing up to this? What compares to this challenge? Can you think back to some other challenge that sort of compares, or you thought that was the biggest challenge, but this trumps that?
No. You know, my mother said that teachers were born and not made. So I always felt like I was a natural teacher. So I always knew how to do this. Even the new stuff that they would feed to me, I didn't let it panic me. But this, because my kids were so at risk, this was the biggest challenge for me.
Gotcha. Gotcha. I love it. Pastor Jeff, anything you want to add to the conversation before we jump into rapid fire?
Yeah, just real quick. I know, and I heard this on the radio, and I think this was basically about Youngstown City School, but how are they doing as far as the extracurricular activities here in Warren? You know, I mean, as far as phys ed, you know, what is it, home ec, and all those type of things. And I know they ask us to do it at home. Are you guys encouraging, you know, like, you know, I mean, my son might run up the steps to get his iPad, but that's about it. You know, and, you know, just those classes that we got to take that they, you know, are obviously can't take because of where it is.
Those teachers had to create.
Yeah.
Had to create a curriculum for their students to follow that could be online. Is that right, Pastor? Have you seen that, Pastor Todd?
Yes,
yeah,
ma'am.
So it was, yeah, they had to create I don't want to say a pen and pencil, but they had to create a tangible thing like that for their students to do. I watched them work that out. I was praying for them daily, believe me.
You know, it was actually really cool. I'll give two quick examples. One is pretty funny. I almost went upstairs and whooped London because there was so much bumping and jumping. I mean, it sounded like there was a wrestling match. I bust through that door, and she said, "I'm doing my gym class. I'm doing jumping jacks." They told me to do it.
Right, stop it.
I said, "Well, not in this house. They need to send the teachers a warning. They need to send me a text message first, because there's about to be some serious whooping up in here. Over here doing windmills and calisthenics." But the second one I'll say is, Ethan has a music program in Google that allows him to write songs in this program. And Mike would appreciate this. They were like, okay, little color code, and you figure out how the beats work, and they all make a sound, and you can make a song. Boy, I was about to steal that laptop and start producing an album. I was about to come over here. I'm freestyling behind.
Ethan T. Payne.
Right, Ethan Payne. Ethan Payne was about to drop my beats. But, you know, thank God that this happened in the 2020 era and not the 1990 era. Not to say that you wouldn't have made it work, but there were so many tools already at the disposal. And just like the masks and all that stuff, so much stuff jumped out. And I'm sure there was probably some educational software, some teachers who had ideas that were being ignored until this happened.
Right. Absolutely. Yes. Yes.
I'm sure.
This forced creativity and, you know, discovery. It forced it to happen and to allow it to happen. So those things that teachers knew worked, that nobody wanted to pay attention to, but teachers knew they worked, this was the time that those things were allowed to blossom. So I agree with that.
And it's a lot more easier to pass out these laptops than those big Apple,
awesome.
Apple computers that you had to have to turn on in the back. Yeah. It took an hour to turn on before it came on.
Right. I still have some of those in my room, so don't speak too loudly. They can hear you.
Right. They might come alive. Hey, this has been amazing.
I'm like, okay.
This has been amazing. We're going to bring in Big Mike for the rapid fire session. But first, I want to bring in another special guest, one of our former guests, one of our first guests on Religiously Incorrect was Pastor Angel Dela Cruz. And he is just a dynamic man of God, awesome pastor, keeps it realer than real. And his lovely wife, Charlene Dela Cruz, is a retired teacher from the Farrell Public School Systems. And so we're bringing her in as a double portion for our rapid fire session. And so Big Mike, if you want to come in with Mrs. Dela Cruz,
hey.
And we're all here as one big happy family. How are you doing, Sister Charlene?
I'm enjoying this conversation. That's what I'm doing.
Praise God.
I am enjoying this conversation. I applaud Melanie for all that you have done and all that you are doing. And it makes me know that I am so glad I'm retired. Hallelujah.
I know that's right.
Woo! Good God.
Yes, yes. Yes.
I am so glad that I didn't have to deal with all of those exciting lessons that you are talking about. And also, you know, the pastors, Todd, when you talked about the idea of coming up with new ideas, mm-hmm. Pastor Jeff, you all had to do the same thing. All of us had to mm-hmm. deal with this pandemic and come up with all of these ideas to keep our members and our students engaged. So it has been a challenge.
Yes, ma'am.
We really have. It has been a challenge, but I'm so glad that I am retired. But I pray for you all. I really do.
Hey, everybody.
What's happening? Big Mike's in the house.
How y'all doing tonight?
Wonderful, man. How you doing?
Good. Miss Melanie, it's been a pleasure having you on. I enjoyed the conversation. I've been wanting to do this show for a while. This is another show that I've been looking forward to. Like I said, you know, about my daughter's a senior at Sharon High, and she's going through, you know, the online classes, and I see the frustration and, you know, things like that. But you guys are making it work. You guys are making it work, and a big applause. Big applause for your heart, for your compassion, for the hard work you guys do.
Thanks.
Lady Shar posted something a few weeks ago, actually a few days ago. It said, in case you need to hear it, students are not falling behind. They are surviving a pandemic. Mm-hmm. Educators, you are not behind.
Right.
You are also surviving a pandemic. And thank you for every ounce that you give. I thought that was so nice. So I just wanted to share that with you guys tonight.
Yes.
I appreciate you both. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Anything else you guys wanted to say before we go to the rapid fire?
I want to hear your rapid fire questions. I can't wait.
Yes, I can't wait.
I actually only have one. I came up with one, so I figure somebody else might have something they can chime in also. But my question is, what are your expectations for 2021?
Uh-oh. We lost Melanie, but she'll be coming back.
Okay.
Go ahead, Miss Charlene.
My expectations. Time. It's going to take a lot of time for us to adjust to the new normal. And that's what I'm looking forward to, is the time and how everything is going to come together. I want to see, first of all, if we're going to have a celebration. Oh, well, when we're going to have a celebration of our new president. That's on the forefront right now.
Yes.
But it's going to take time. It's going to take time, and I'm just hoping that we can be patient with all the things that we have to deal with, because it's going to take a long time for a new normal. Churches, right. You know, getting back together, because it's been nice getting up in the morning, having your cup of coffee, not having to do your hair, you know, and go out the door or, you know, put clothes on, whatever. You know, and go to church. It's going to be difficult. But we've got to take the time.
The education system, and you know, getting back to our kids, getting back to engaging together one-on-one again, like socializing, you know, dealing with their social skills. It's going to take time. So that's my thing. That's what I think for 2021.
Miss Melanie, what are your expectations for 2021?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you, sweetheart.
You can't hear me? Okay.
Can you hear me?
Oh,
can you hear anybody?
Yes, Pastor. Yes, Pastor Stanford, I can hear you.
The question is, what are your expectations?
No, maybe not.
Uh-oh. How about me? Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
My expectations for 2020?
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, well, I can tell you, you know what? I am looking for grand things. This pandemic has allowed, well, for me to shrug off things that I would have done normally, things that were old and, you know, old and tattered, old ways of thinking on how to get information to my students, old ways of making sure that there were connections being made. I shrugged all of that off, threw all of that off, and I am expecting a new wineskin. I am expecting a new growth and no fear of exploration and things that I could dip my students into. I am looking forward to 2021 as a year of brand new everything. Brand new me, brand new them, brand new system, brand new ways of dealing. I'm looking forward to it.
I like that. That's
good,
all right.
Good. Pastor Todd, Pastor Jeff.
I would say I am looking forward to when opportunities come for regathering in various venues and formats. And whenever that happens, and obviously with still some safeguards involved, never, ever, ever taking for granted being around people and being in the presence of people who I love and appreciate, whether I have the deepest best friend relationship like I do with Pastor Jeff, or if it's just one of my parishioners who I love dearly, I will never take for granted and complain about getting up on a Sunday morning or be worried about what I'm going to say. I'll make up a sermon if I have to, just to be able to get up and I just make something up. But I will never take gathering for granted. I don't care if it's being in a stadium watching football at Harding or being in a church or getting to go to our first family party or gathering like we once had, which it will happen. At some point, it will happen. And I plan on never taking that for granted and never allowing other people to take it for granted.
That's good.
We're going to have good church. That's what we're going to have good church. That's what I'm going to have.
Real good church.
Real good church.
That's exactly what I would say. Yeah. Just having real good church again. And also outside of that, y'all know me, I'm a cruiser. I'm ready to get back on a cruise. I'm ready to go. I'm ready for me and my wife to go on some vacations.
Give me some death ships, dog. It's death ships. You're going to be on the Pacific Ocean for 9 months.
Listen, I can't take it. I can't take it.
I know.
It means a lot to me this year. So.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
How about you, Mike?
I honestly have no expectations, man, because I don't want to be disappointed. I was so disappointed this year. I'm taking it day by day. I'm going to take it day by day.
That's right. Okay.
I do miss being out. I miss going to hear live music, going to concerts, things like that. You know, I'm hoping for the best. But as far as expectations, we'll see what happens.
Okay, I have a question. I have a rapid fire question for the teachers, and maybe as pastors, Jeff, you can answer this too. So, teachers, I know that students come to you with their dreams, their hopes. Some of them are going to college, or you know, they ask you your opinion, or you know what they want to do in their life. For those that might want to go to the military, would you encourage them to enlist in the Space Force?
In the Space Force?
Yes, yes. The president has started. He started the Space Force. They're called Guardians.
Really?
Yes, Guardians. Guardians.
They're called Guardians.
Let me tell you.
Pastor, I know where you live. Keep it up. I know where you live. Don't forget.
This is true. I will encourage all kids to do it because they're going to get paid. They ain't going to have to do nothing because they ain't never going to space. It ain't going to happen. They're going to get paid for doing nothing. Do it.
You know, Houston Alliance will be the first person to sign up. They already got a spaceship. They got these cardboard boxes upstairs.
Okay. Yeah, anybody want to really answer that? I answered that.
No.
But no.
Oh my goodness.
Here's my rapid fire question. Here's my rapid fire question.
All right.
As teachers, as educators, this cure or this virus, whatever it's called.
Vaccine.
Yeah, this vaccine is being offered. Are you guys willing to take it if they make educators take it? Are you guys willing to take it? As to go back to school, to re-enter school, you have
I'm to willing take to take it.
You are.
I'm taking it. I'm taking it because I need to be able to go back to school. I'm taking it. So yes, I don't know that we have to. But for safeguards, my baby, so that be in front of them, I'm going to do it. Hand on my head, walk on my head, be it. So, you know, look, let me just say this. Historically, when shooters came into schools, it was teachers who laid on top of their students. It was teachers who hit the door and hid their kids in cabinets.
Come on.
It was teachers who found a way to so that no harm came to their kids. So if I'm willing to stand in line and take a bullet, this is no less than that for me. Okay, I will take the shot to save my children. Wow. And that's how that is. Yeah.
I believe it. I love you for it.
When we think about that, yeah, let's just remember that. I remember we were bargaining one year, and I said, you know, they're not going down to the shooters aren't going down to the board and demanding. They're coming to schools.
Wow.
And walking and harming our children. So if you're asking me to take this shot so that I can protect my children, then I'm the first one in line.
You are my hero. You are my hero.
That was amazing. Yeah. That was amazing answer.
I got these bootleg vaccines in my trunk, $9.99 a piece. Anybody that
no, we
they come in little Dixie cups. They come in little Dixie cups.
So say just step right up, right?
nobody wants Pastor Todd's bootleg vaccines, apparently.
No.
We'll take it. Well, I appreciate your answer. Seriously, and that's going to be a tough question for everybody. Your devotion shines through, and that statement you just made, nobody's watching to a sport to try to harm them or to administration. That's deep. That's deep.
That is really it is. I took the flu shot while I was teaching, and I did that for that very reason, because I was still teaching. But since I'm not teaching now, I don't feel that I would be the first ones to take it. But you're absolutely right. You want to guard your children, your students. So absolutely, Melanie. Absolutely, Sister Melanie. I agree with that.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
All right.
Yeah, if there's nobody else, I do have a question from your student, Miss Melanie, as we close. Anton Crosby, one of your students. Anton Crosby wants to know, do you still encourage your students to memorize Our Deepest Fear? Did you hear that?
I can't understand you.
Do you still encourage your students to memorize Our Deepest Fear?
Yeah, her signal's
going in. Do I encourage students to do what?
To memorize Our Deepest Fear.
Aw.
Do you still...
To memorize Shakespeare?
our deepest fear?
Is that the question?
No, to memorize our deepest fear. I guess it was a poem.
Yes, only my students know that. Yes, I still make them memorize that.
That's all right.
I'm sorry.
No, don't be. That's part of that teaching skill, Miss Educator. Bless your heart.
Yes, how could you remember that? Yes, I do.
Yeah.
So, yes, I do.
Yes.
That's that educator. That's that educator connection right there.
Well, as we close, speaking of greatest fear, I'm going to let our brothers know, don't ever cut out your beards without letting your wife know, because that will be your greatest fear.
Well, I ain't got much of nothing.
That's right.
I heard all them posts. I didn't think you was going to make the podcast, Doc.
I was scared. I was scared, dude. I mean, and I just messed up. I cut it, you know, trying to trim it. I cut it by mistake, so I had to cut it all the way off. And I mean, she about had a fit, dude. I'm like, wow. If y'all want to know y'all greatest fear, cut y'all bit. Mike, especially, you got the whole thing on. Don't do it, Doc. Don't do it.
Don't do it. Well, I speak for all of your former students, Miss Melanie, when I say we love you. You are beloved. You are a gem. And we appreciate you. We love you. It's an honor to pastor my teacher. Y'all don't understand. Right. It's an honor to pastor my teacher. I wouldn't talk so good if she hadn't taught me so well. When I be searching for words, when I'm searching for words, it comes back out of my schooling. Miss Stoudemire, my commitment to history, Mr. Thornton, Miss Edwina Whitehead, and we all have our teachers that we adore and love, but you are especially beloved. And Miss Dela Cruz, Sister Dela Cruz, we thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Technical difficulties are a part of the show. We have that, but we had a great conversation. We had great comments. Sister Melanie, your students are telling you how great you are and the best teacher they've ever had. The best teacher they have ever had. All the students. So, hey, everybody, thank you for joining us for our last week of Religiously Incorrect in 2020. Big Mike, go ahead and make your announcement to say what you got to say. And we'll remind you of what's happening in 2021.
All right. Don't forget, first Sunday in January, YouTube only.
YouTube only.
We will not be on Facebook.
So look for us here.
YouTube only. We have a very special guest. Am I allowed to say yet, Jeff?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not
yet. I'm not allowed
to sign a contract. You can sign a contract to the deposit.
Okay, but yeah, we have a very special guest. And from here on out, first Sunday of every month, we will first be Sunday. On YouTube only.
YouTube only.
And again, mm-hmm. if you don't have an account, go ahead and sign up for one. If you don't know how to do it, have your kids, your grandkids, have somebody set you up an account on YouTube so you can tune in.
And right. Comment.
And comment. That's
well, thank you, Ms. Charlene and Ms. Melanie. We're going to let you go. Thank you so very much.
We appreciate you guys and what you're doing.
Bless
Look
you.
Forward Thank to great stuff in 2021. So much. Hey, that'll be my
Happy New Year
from you guys. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Mm-hmm. Y'all, we made it. We made it through 2020.
Wow. Wow.
Even in the midst of a pandemic.
Yes, sir.
We got through. Sir. So, Wash this year. Thank you so much. We appreciate you. Please continue to like, share, subscribe, get your gear, get your Religiously Incorrect gear at religiouslyincorrectpodcast.com. And if you'd like to be a sponsor, reach out to us at Religiously Incorrect Podcast Facebook page or at gmail.com. And we can't wait to connect with y'all again. So if that's all you got, Mike, hit that theme song.
All right. Peace, y'all.